names of the gods.
Well, let's see. Should we have some kids come up front? There's a few. Come on. Yeah, we got a few kids here. Asia and Emma. What about Beth? Beth's trying to decide, am I still a kid or am I a grown-up? It's hard to decide, right? You're still kids. I'm here. I'm up front. All right, well, no softball questions because I know you guys are really smart. So, is Jesus holy? Yeah, the head shake, yes, yes. Does Jesus hate sin? More yes, yes. All right, so Jesus is holy and he hates sin. When Jesus came and was living on the earth, did he eat with sinners? Why? If Jesus is holy and he hates sin, why did he eat with sinners?
Because
he loved the sinners. So he was willing to sit with them and overlook their sins to eat with them because he loved them. Well, why? Because he loved them, did he have any purpose in eating with them? Please quote the verses that he was applying. I'm just kidding. You know what? Jesus is holy and he hates sin, and you're very correct. He did eat with sinners because he loved them and he came to save them. Jesus came to save sinners, and for the purpose of the gospel, he ate with sinners and tax collectors, and you know what? Some people did not understand that. In fact, they said, he eats with sinners and tax collectors. You know what? The Apostle Paul did the same thing, and today we're going to learn why he did that, and we're going to learn to live like he lived. All right? Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. I thank you for these kids being here. I thank you for gathering us together. I pray that you would guide us as we study your word in 1 Corinthians 9 this morning. Help us to imitate Paul as he imitated Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Off you go. Let's take our Bibles and open together to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I retitled this sermon about 10 different times this week. Denise was getting upset. Oh, just give it a title. Well, I'm going to change it again. I know you have All for the Gospel, and that works. But we're looking through 1 Corinthians 9 at three principles for how to run so as to win. There's only one command in all of 1 Corinthians 9, and it's the command in verse 24, run to win. Last week we looked at the first principle, which is self-denial. I think I should call the one for this morning strategic servanthood. And if you don't like that, then leave the title that's in the bulletin. Strategic servanthood or all for the gospel, either one will work. We're in chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. This is what the Apostle Paul says. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Snipers are in the news these days. Anybody notice that? The Sniper movie, The American Sniper, is setting some box office records. It surpassed $300 million at the box office. One of only 50 movies to ever do that. And The American Sniper trial is showing nightly on the nightly news. They had a special this past week, a little special segment about snipers and how it is that snipers get into position to do what they are trained to do. They put on what's called a ghillie suit. Anybody see or heard of a ghillie suit? heavy foliage. It's made to look like their surroundings. It's a specialized suit so that they can get into position and do what they are supposed to do. Interestingly, the word ghillie comes from a Gaelic word, a Scottish word for servant. Because it used to be that they would take Scottish people on hunting expeditions and they would have these paid servants who would put on these special ghillie or servant suits to get into position and help the hunters to catch their prey. Well, something like that in a spiritual sense is what the Apostle Paul used in spiritual battle. He put on a servant's suit. And when he was with the Jews, he would become to a degree like the Jews. And when he was with Gentiles, he would become to a degree like Gentiles. And even when he was with the weak, he would become, in a sense, like the weak. When amongst musicians, he would play music for the musicians, all for the sake of the gospel. He would put on the servant's suit. And beloved, this is how to run so as to win. You know what? If you're going to run to win, you want the right running gear. Well, going along with that same metaphor, Paul had an outfit that he wore, and it didn't always look the same. And for that reason, he took some heat. All right, some people would probably have said, Paul, you're a chameleon. Well, chameleons change color to match their surroundings in order to save their own skin. Paul changed to a degree what he was like around certain people to save them. So we want to see, and the outline is the same as last time, what is he saying? First of all, to get that, we're going to walk verse by verse, and then we're going to ask, what is he showing? What is he saying and what is he showing? Verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. Well, what is he saying? What is he saying? Though I am free from all men, Paul was no man's slave. He was also free in Christ. He had liberty to make a lot of decisions. His first question in this chapter, in verse 1, was, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Now he answers that. I am free. Paul was free. He could eat what he wanted. He was no longer under the law. He was not under the traditions and the customs. He had liberty in Jesus Christ. Is that you? Have you been set free? If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Galatians says, you have been called to liberty, brethren, only don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but in love, serve one another. If you're a Christian, you too are free. You are not a slave of any man, you are only a slave of Christ. Paul says, even though I am free, meaning I am free from all men, yet I have made myself a servant to all. Literally, I myself have enslaved myself. Paul took the liberty to make himself a slave. Why would you do that? Why would anybody say, look, I got rights. I have freedom in Christ. Why would anyone take that and say, I'm going to take my liberty and I'm going to use it to make myself a slave of all? That I might win the more. Win is a financial term. It's the term used for gaining something. But it's also used in the Bible of gaining people to salvation. It's used in 1 Peter 3. Women who have husbands who are not obedient to the word are to be submissive to their husbands, that without a word they might win their husbands. Same thing here. Paul is viewing himself as an investor. And he says, I take the liberty that I have in Christ, and I am investing my liberty in this way. I made myself a servant to all. By the way, this is not in the present tense. It's not, I always make myself a servant to all. It refers to a past decision, a resolution before God. I made myself a servant to all. Once and done decision. So that the rest of his life was a life of servanthood. Does that apply to us? Absolutely. The whole key to Christian liberty in chapters 9, 10, and 11 is imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. 11:1. That's how he ends the section. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. How do you do that, Paul? First, self-denial, which we studied in verses 1 through 18, and now servanthood, strategic servanthood. I make myself a servant to all for their sakes. He said, well, wait a second. You made yourself a servant to all. That I'm afraid of that. That sounds like you're going to be a lawn boy to the woman in church who wants you to cut her grass. You're going to be a taxi driver to the guy in church that wants you to drive him around town. You're going to be a house cleaner for the guy in church that wants you to be a house cleaner. Is that what Paul means? No. He means, I have made myself a servant to all, not to serve their purposes, but to serve Christ's. And Christ's purpose was and is to save. It is a faithful and trustworthy saying that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That was Christ's purpose. That is Paul's purpose. And the question is it yours? Is it your purpose? I'd encourage you to think seriously about that. Can you say, yes, my goal in life is to see people saved? If so, if that is your goal, then to that end, I say, make yourself a servant to all. What does that look like? What does that really mean? Verse 20. In verses 20 to 22, he gives us three examples, maybe four, depends on how you count them. Three to four examples of what he means when he says, I made myself a servant to all. Verse 20, he says, and to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win the Jews. You find anything funny about that? I do. Paul was a Jew. Be like, let's see, who's a native Puebloan? Anybody a native? Well, it'd be like Don saying, you know, among the Puebloans, I make myself a Puebloan to win the Puebloans. And we say, aha, funny, Don. You are a Puebloan. So what does Paul mean? Why would he even say this? Well, I think the next line explains it. He says, verse 20, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Who was under the law? The Jews. And Gentile converts. So maybe he broadens it a little bit. Was Paul under the law? No. Did he have to observe all the same customs and traditions that he used to observe when he was a Jew and a leader among Jews? No, he did not. He knew that in Christ he had the freedom to no longer go to the temple and do some of those same things he used to do. He didn't have to wash his hands like he used to do. He did not have to observe those same traditions of the elders and customs. He had the liberty to not do that anymore. What did he do with that liberty? He made himself a slave. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those under the law, as under the law, that I might win those under the law. When I am with them, I follow their same traditions that I used to follow when I was them. Only now, he has a completely different motive. What was his motive before? He was under the law. What's his motive now? Four-letter word begins with L. Love. See, now he will go back among the same people he used to be with, and he will be like them in love for their sakes. That's how you run to win. Among the Methodists, I become like the Methodists. Nothing against Methodists, but I grew up Methodist. Can I go back to a wedding held in the Methodist church? Sure. Only I ought to go for the same purpose that Paul went, that I might win them. In other words, I don't want to go back and do it just to be liked. That's a different motive. I don't want to go back just because if I don't, they'll say bad things about me. I want to go for the purpose of the gospel. Think about this. What if Paul had not done this? What if he hadn't become as a Jew among the Jews? What if he hadn't become as under the law to those under the law? Keep your hand here in 1 Corinthians 9 and turn back real briefly to Acts 17. Acts 17. You remember what Paul's custom was? Everywhere he went, he would go to the Jewish synagogues, the gathering of the Jews, the gathering of those who were under the law. He would go in every city into the synagogue, and Acts 17:2 says, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Where is he reasoning from? what we would call the Old Testament. Why? That's his audience. He's in a gathering of Jews. He's got the scriptures. He's reasoning with them from their book, from the scriptures, his book too, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, had to suffer and rise again from the dead. What do you think he used for that? Psalm 2, Psalm 16, Psalm 22, Psalm 110, Psalm 89, Isaiah 53, and others. He is using Old Testament scriptures that proved, listen, the Messiah had to suffer. The Messiah had to rise again. And then he kept saying to them, this Jesus whom I preach to you, he's the one. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. What's he doing? Among the Jews, he has become like the Jews, observing their customs, observing their traditions, even reasoning with them from the scriptures. Why? In order that he might win the Jews. And some of them, verse 4 says, were persuaded. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. Now, before you leave Acts 17, before you leave Acts, look at chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Now he's in Corinth, right? And we're reading his letter to the Corinthians. Now he's in Corinth for the first time. What's he going to do? He's going to use his liberty to reach the Corinthians. Verse 2, he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Now here's the first principle that we studied last week, self-denial. Paul is there working a trade in order to make money, in order that he can get the gospel to these Corinthians. Self-denial. He had the right to get money from all the churches he'd already been in, but he tells us in 1 Corinthians 9, I have the right to get paid by the churches I serve in, but instead I work a trade so as not to be a burden on those I minister the gospel to. So he comes here, he works a trade, and verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So here's my question. What if Paul was not willing to go back and be like someone under the law? What if he was not willing to go back and practice some of the same customs and traditions as the Jews? Do you think he ever would have been given an opportunity to speak in those synagogues? No. No, he wouldn't. He had to become like them in order that he might win them. And when he says back in 1 Corinthians 9:19, he says, that I might win the more, it means that I might win more than I would win if I didn't do these things. What do you think? Did Paul win more people to Jesus Christ by doing these things than he would have won had he not done these things? No doubt. What's he showing us? This is how you run so as to win. This is how you run. This is how you live out your Christian life. This is how you minister. This is how you use your freedom in Christ in order that you might win people to Jesus Christ. That's a worthy investment. The profit on that is seeing people come to Christ or seeing people grow in Christ. That's his example among the Jews. How about among the Gentiles? Verse 21. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. By the way, there was also this little exception kind of clause in the previous verse in some of your translations, not in all translations. He said, though I myself am not under the law. And here he says, though I myself am not without the law. What's going on here? Paul was very careful. Very careful, right? On the one hand, he says, I go back under the law, kind of. I am like a Jew among the Jews. I'm like those under the law. But I am not under the law anymore. This is liberty. I'm using my liberty here to do this. And then when he says this in verse 21, to those without the law, as without law, within limits I do this. It's not like I am without a law. I do not become lawless among them. Right? This is how people could abuse this verse. Oh, look, hey, man, that's why I'm out here drinking. I'm just being like the Gentiles. No, not at all. Paul says, within limits, I do not forget that I do have Christ as my master. To follow Paul's example, to imitate him as he imitates Christ, you need to know the gospel. Paul is saying, within the limits I have in the gospel, I use my freedom to reach people of Christ. Remember, he said back in verse 18 at the end of the verse, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. My authority is talking about my liberty. I don't make maximum use of that on the one hand. I could exercise my liberty for my sake, and I don't. That's self-denial. On the other hand, I do make maximum use of my liberty in the gospel for the sake of others by making myself their slave. And I become as much like them as I can within the limits of the gospel and probably within the limits of his conscience. So among the Gentiles, he becomes like the Gentiles. I can tell you this. If you move to Russia, there are some things you will have to learn if you're ever going to reach the Russians. For example, many Russians in the churches count playing with cards and even the deck playing cards. They count playing cards and playing cards, sin. They count jeans in church for a woman or a man, sin. They count pants in church for a woman, even if they're nice dress pants, sin. And many of the churches count a married woman without a head covering, sin. They also count bowling, sin, and theater, sin, and going out to dine on a Sunday, sin. Guess what things you will learn to give up if you live in Russia? Every Sunday, my wife, and I praise the Lord for a godly wife, she always wore a skirt or a dress, always wore a head covering. I never wore jeans to church, always a suit and tie. We gave up cards, which was no big deal. We gave up going out to eat on Sundays with very few exceptions, which I'll explain in a moment. We gave up bowling with very few exceptions, which I'll explain now. So what do you do, however, if you want to reach the youth? And the youth, they don't think bowling's a sin. They think bowling's something to do. See, this is not easy. This is very careful, very strategic, very prayerful, very careful, wise stewardship of your liberty in Christ. And you can see why Paul is giving this as a defense. He said back in verse 3, my defense to those who examine me is this. Well, Paul, why do you have to defend yourself? Because in one group he's bowling, in another group he's not. Well, he's probably not bowling in any group, but you get the idea. I thought he didn't bowl. And he bowled on Friday night. Yes, but that was with the youth group in order that he might share the gospel with the youth group. And now you got to decide, am I going to not bowl because of those who are weak? And this is not easy. Not easy to do. And you probably have to do it ready to defend yourself. You know, Pastor Dan, I remember a couple years ago at camp, they were playing this big game. I don't know what it's called, but everybody's rolling around in the field and they're shaving cream and it's... That's every game? That's no special game. We have shaving cream in every game at camp. But you know what? Pastor Dan was out there. I mean, he's mixing it up. And I can just imagine if, you know, this is not a stuffy church, but imagine this was a stuffy church. And someone goes out there, Pastor Dan, he was like those youth rolling around and shaving cream and in the mud and the dirt. Pastor Dan, this is unbecoming. You know what? When at camp, be like the kids at camp, to the degree that your conscience and your body will allow. I mean, you can't do everything, right? This is how you run to win. This is how you run to win. Imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. And then in verse 22, this is interesting, to the weak I became as weak that I might win the weak. Who does he mean? Maybe he means the intellectually weak. When amongst those who don't know algebra, I act like I don't know algebra. No, that's not what he means, actually. Some people think that he does mean intellectually or educationally weak. No. The previous chapter, he kept talking about the weak brethren. Right back in chapter 9, verse 8-9. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. And in verse 13, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. My weak brother. He's talking about Christians, which tells us something very important. When Paul says, I made myself a servant to all that I might win does not mean only win them to the first part of their salvation. What he's teaching us here is useful not just for evangelism, it's useful for discipleship, for pastoral ministry, for biblical counseling. It's useful for every aspect of disciple-making ministry. Win is not, I want to win them and get them in the door, and then I don't care about them anymore, I go back out the door and try to win some more. Not what he means. Hey, when I'm trying to disciple a young guy who has an iPhone, it doesn't mean maybe that I'll have an iPhone, but I'm not going to diss his iPhone. Why? Because they all have iPhones today. I might figure out how he could make use of that for the gospel. Hey, pull up something on YouTube, Drew. I'll show you what I'm talking about. To a degree, the degree allowable by the gospel, the degree allowable by my conscience, I am going to become like those I minister to. Why? That I might win the more. And win them not just to faith in Christ, but to Christ-likeness and service to Christ. What Paul really wants to see, and what you should want to see, and I want to see, is people coming to know Christ, growing up in Christ, to where they become servants for Christ, just like Paul. What are you willing to do to that end? Are you willing to become like people who are not like you? You might think, well, I'm not sure how to apply this in Pueblo. I'm already a Puebloan, and I'm among Puebloans. It doesn't take anything for me to eat green chilies. I already go down to the Riverwalk. Here's how it applies. Look at the next line. Verse 22, the second half. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. How many people are in Pueblo? 100,000? They're all unique. Everybody's a little different. Some people are, we were talking, Jan, where are you? Talking about, you know, somebody brought Fruit Loop covered donuts to men's breakfast yesterday. And I said, you know, that's where I draw the line. You know, I like donuts, and some people don't eat sugar. Some people like sugar. Some people, you know, I'm just not eating a Fruit Loop donut. I draw the line there. What if you're at somebody's house and you don't like sugar and you don't use sugar, but they're serving you something and pretty much everything they're serving has sugar? Now, obviously, if you have a health problem, but you know what? We went to Russian people's houses and they used a lot of oil in their cooking. And every time I would eat it, I would get sick. And we'd go to somebody's house and Denise would sit beside me and they bring out, I would call it stuffed green peppers, but it's really mostly oil and there's some stuffed green peppers in there somewhere. I mean, just orange oil and the little stuffed green pepper with the rice is floating. You know what? That's what they're serving. And I got a choice here. I am going to be sick tonight, but I'm going to eat this for the sake of these people that we're trying to disciple. Or I'm going to say, I'm not eating. Yuck. There's no way. Look at all that oil. Could I filter this thing somehow? So I eat it, and Denise is like, you shouldn't be eating that. And I'm sick because I can't eat a lot of oil. Please don't serve a bunch of oil at your house. But if you do, I'll become like you for the sake of the gospel. This is where this applies. I might by all means save some. Now, wait a second. See where it says by all means? I'm going to tell you what this does not mean. This does not mean I will use any and all means. Doesn't mean that. Paul has been clear about that. It's not as though I'm without law. Why do I bring that up? We had this young guy in seminary in Russia who thought that this meant that by all means we try to save some. So he proposed a certain means, which I will not go into the details of, that he thought would be a means by which to save some of the young people. Well, all the elders in the church, myself included, because I was an elder in the Russian church there, were like, what? And I'll tell you, it would be like, this was not the proposal, but it would be like someone here, Sam says, I want us to reach the young men of my generation. Okay, Sam, what do you propose? I propose that we give away free Red Bull and Monster Energy, and we're going to invite the Red Bull girls and the Monster Energy girls to come out at the church, and we're going to give away free to the first 1,000 in the door, and then we're going to hold a rock concert, and then at the end, we're going to have a little 5-minute gospel presentation, and Pastor John, you can be the guy so that I get you to buy into my idea. We're not doing that, Sam. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't do that. He didn't propose that. I'm sure he wouldn't propose such a thing. Sam doesn't even like, I knew I could use him as an example. He doesn't even like the hard rock, you know, music. Amen. We're not going to use all means. And that's not what he's saying here. He means that I'm going to use all these means I just talked about. And what he has in mind in particular is when I'm with the Jews, I will become like the Jews to the degree my conscience and the gospel allows. When I'm with the Gentiles, I will become like the Gentiles to the degree my Lord and my conscience allows. And when I'm with the weak, and the idea there is when I'm with the weak, you know what? I'll go with their scruples. They can't go to a drag race, I won't go to a drag race. They can't put up with me going out. I talked to last week about, you know, the pastor that likes to line dance. I think I mentioned that last week, right? But now he's serving a church where the other people are like, whoa, you can't go out line dancing. We're offended. He needs to put that aside for them. Well, line dancing in and of itself is not a sin. You cannot show me in the Bible any dancing, any form. You know, probably David's wife that saw him line dancing. Whatever, he was dancing before the ark. And she thought that this was terrible. And he said, I was praising the Lord. But you know what? You need to become like those you serve amongst. Let's say that I was from California. I'm not. And let's say that I was used to cut-off shorts and a Hawaiian shirt on Sunday mornings, and you called me to be your pastor. And you think, which I would tend to agree, the cut-off shorts and Hawaiian shirt are not fitting for the pastor on Sunday morning. You know some people think that's fine. You know that, right? What if I came here, and on my first Sunday, I showed up here, cut off jean shorts and a Hawaiian shirt? Not wise. And what if I justified it saying, but by all means? No. What I should do is become like those among whom I serve. By the way, I'm never going to wear cut off jeans and a Hawaiian shirt, unless it's for a skit. Paul does not mean that I become absolutely anything, even a sinner, so that I may, by all means, even foolish and sinful worldly means, save some. He doesn't mean that. The limits are Christ and the gospel. But he does mean, I do use all means available within the gospel and within what is allowable by Christ and my conscience, and I use those means among different people for the sake of saving them. And here we see what he means by win. I want to see people saved, and not just to the beginning of their salvation, all the way to the end. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Here we see his motivation. I do it for the sake of the gospel. I want the gospel to go forth, and I don't want me or my hang-ups to be a hindrance to the gospel. I don't want my dietary issues being a hang-up. I don't want my clothing issues to be a hang-up. Some people say, well, and I heard someone say recently, this is nothing about clothing. You know, for Paul, maybe it was nothing about clothing, but I tell you what. If you were going to a family reunion in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and all your relatives are farmers and ranch hands and cowboys, should you go up in a 3-piece suit with, you know, shiny shoes? No, I would say get out your cowboy boots. We were visiting a friend one time, and he said, I want to take you to the rodeo. And he told me, we're going to evangelize there. He said, but John, you can't go like that. I wasn't that bad, but he said, you can't go without cowboy boots and a Western shirt. So he took me over to one of the other elders' houses to get me ready. Hey, I was happy. I wish I had a picture. I'll make a good cowboy. How about it, babe? Just kidding. Oh, she's turning red. Good. That I did for the gospel's sake. He says that I may be partaker of it with you. Partaker in what way? Isn't he already a partaker of the gospel? Sure. And some people say it means that I might be a partaker of it with you. In other words, I did this for you so that I could share now in the gospel with you. How do you think you came to know Christ? That may be part of it. It could be I did this that I might be a partaker of the gospel power, the gospel blessings even now. And some would say, and I think none of these is disallowed, I do this that I may be partaker of it in the end. Of all the promises, of all the blessings, in the end, I want to partake of the gospel together with all of you. And that's why I do these things that I do. Why would Paul do this? Because this is what Christ did. What did Jesus Christ do? Put on the form of a bondservant. Right? Bondslave. This is what Paul did. The servant suit, the ghillie suit, the spiritual ghillie suit. So that he could be in a position to reach people for the gospel that they might be saved. This is what Jesus Christ did. He ate with sinners and tax collectors. And yes, he took heat for it. But you know what he said? Do you remember what Jesus Christ said? This was in Luke 7. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, all the religious people were attacking him. He eats with sinners and tax collectors. And you know what he says? Wisdom is justified by her children. You ever think about that one? You will see the wisdom of what I do when you see the children I produce. You know, a lot of parents have to defend decisions they make with their kids. How come you don't let your kids play those video games? Wisdom is justified by her children. You wait and see how in the future my kids are not addicted to those video games, right? That's the idea here. Paul says, look, Corinthians, you are the result of my applying this principle. My defense is you. And you know what? As you minister the gospel, as you preach, as you teach, as you disciple, let the defense that you have of your approach be the people whose lives you change. This is what it means to run to win. This is what it means to fish for men. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. How do you do it? Self-denial and strategic servanthood, or put on the servant's suit, all for the sake of the gospel. Heard a good story this week. I don't know if it's true. Sometimes you hear stories you can't verify whether they're true or not, about the head of Armour Meats, A-R-M-O-U-R. Remember Armour Meats? I think it's still out there. And when that guy was the head of Armour Meats, you know, he owned half of Chicago. I heard he was on an airplane, and a young man sat down beside him who didn't know who Mr. Armour was. And in the course of the conversation, the young man is telling about college, and he's hoping to start a new business one day, and talking about how he's going to do this. And he asks Mr. Armour, so what do you do? And he said, you know, my business is to tell people about Jesus Christ, and I pack a little meat on the side. And the one who told that story said, make that your way of thinking. Make it your business to win people to Christ through the gospel and then disciple them for Christ. And whatever else it is you do, teaching algebra, working at the power plant, whatever it is, that's what you do on the side. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that we would go forth from this place donning the servant's suit from here on out. Let us decide even right here and now before you on this snowy Sunday morning. Let us resolve before you to be a servant to all people, that we might by all means save some of them. Help us to do that for the sake of the gospel, for evangelism, for discipleship. And God, help us to have the wisdom how to do that, when and where and in what ways specifically. Guide us as we seek to imitate Paul the way he imitated Jesus Christ. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.